Israel, all is my Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
In observance of the fourth anniversary of the independence of the State of Israel, the Jewish Theological Seminary of America presents These Rocks Are Mine, a special program written, produced, and recorded in Israel for the Eternal Light and Kol Tzion of Jerusalem, Israel, by Miss Sylvia Burden.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
You recognized Mordecai Olim the moment you saw him, wandering on his aimless feet, staring with his homeless eyes, misery making the hair stand wild on his head. If you asked him, Mordecai, where do you come from?
I come from where the wind blows cold.
You recognized Mordecai Olim by the pack on his back, a basket tied to a bottle, tied to an apple, tied to an old coat, tied to an old hat, tied to two shoes, tied to a bundle, strapped to his back. If you asked him, Mordecai Olim, what are you carrying in the bundle on your back?
Trouble.
Every Sunday, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday, you saw him, Mordecai Olim, wandering on his aimless feet, seeking with his homeless eyes misery, standing in his hair like little spears of glass. If you asked him, Mordecai Olim, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for a wall where there is no wall. I'm looking for a bench where there is no bench. I'm looking for one small, certain corner of the earth.
And if you found them, the wall where there is no wall, the bench where there is no bench, the one small, certain corner of the earth,
then I would rest my back against the wall and sit on the bench and say, this little corner is mine.
Now, on this one certain day in the life of Mordecai Olim, the 22nd of the month it was, and the sun had set and the wind had begun to nibble at the evening with its teeth, Mordecai was wandering about the streets of a certain city, counting the windows of other people's homes. Now, this was a very crowded city, you understand, and Mordecai knew there couldn't very well be room for him. Hadn't he learned a long time back that wherever he went, he alone, Mordecai Olim, could constitute a crowd? Well, he was wandering about this certain day, this 22nd of the month, on his aimless feet with his staring eyes, counting the windows of other people's homes, when he stumbled into another excess human being, Zalman, the concertina player. And Zalman was running, his concertina banging in back of him, his homeless eyes staring in front of him. Zalman ran. Zalman!
What's happened, Zalman? Are they chasing you, Zalman? Who's chasing you? Maybe I'd better run there, too. They need me. They want me.
Who wants you? Where?
They're holding a ship for me. At the water's edge. They've sent word.
Who sent word? Watch yourself, Zalman. It's a trap. Why should anybody want you?
Because I'm a Jew.
Listen to me, Zalman. I know how it is. I know. Many a time I, too, thought I'd let myself go crazy. You go crazy, you don't know what's happening to you, it's easier. But you can't give in to it, Zalman. The thing to do when it becomes unbearable, Zalman, is to hang on. Keep saying, it'll pass. And before you know it, you'll be playing your concertina again.
The flag and the ship is blue and white.
I'll be dropping a coin your way.
With a star in the middle.
Blue and white?
With a star in the middle.
You saw it, Zalman.
The Star of David.
It's a dream, Mordecai.
Every Jew, wherever he dwells, is free to return to the land of his people and share Jewish independence in the state of Israel.
Mordecai, it's a dream. The gates of our land are open to every Jew, wherever he may be, who wishes to return to his homeland. Where are you running, Mordecai? It's a dream. You'll wake up counting the windows in other people's homes. Can't you recognize it? It's an old dream.
I was in Tunis when I found out that there was the State of Israel. And I was very happy. So happy that I gave away all my French books to my cousin. The tears which flowed from my eyes at that moment were not tears of bitterness, but they were tears of joy. They showed me the way I have to go, the way of return to my own land. We knew that we could not be made to suffer more heavily than we had already suffered. And here one dies or lives, but as free men.
Do you recognize it now, Mordecai? It's an old dream, 2,000 years old. And it's happening before your dreaming eyes. They're leaving their dwelling places, they're giving away their possessions. For the ships are waiting at the water's edge. The word has come that there is one small certain corner of the earth.
What do you think, Salman? Will they have flowers? What do you think?
No flowers.
But they'll be glad to see us, won't they, Salman?
I wonder what's the first thing they say to you when you step on shore.
Shalom.
Shalom, Mordecai. Shalom. And then?
Excuse me for interrupting, but I happen to know your friend is wrong.
Is wrong? You're wrong, Zalman. They don't say shalom?
The first thing that happens to you when you get off the boat is the sign, Welcome to Israel, in four languages.
In four languages? They welcome you in four languages?
Then they give you tea and cake. Courtesy of the authorities.
The authorities of the state?
With lemon.
Salma, they must want us pretty badly over there.
They must need us.
And the overall housing situation. A man can find himself a little corner to lay his head.
You're not out in the street.
Good. I'll tell you the truth, my friend here and I, we're thinking of starting a little business when we get to Jerusalem. A winter washing business. Nothing very important, but our own.
There's a man here on the boat with a cat. He's got it in a wooden box with air holes. Why is he taking a cat to Israel with him? There are no cats in Israel. But this cat is his own.
That's the way it is.
You've got to have something of your own in the world. Even if it's only a cat.
That's the way it is.
Hey, what's the way for me? That's your place over there, you. You think I don't have eyes? I didn't drag it all over Europe with me to have it stolen on the boat to Israel.
I'm a foreign creature, that's what you are.
I'm a foreign creature. Right. I am a poison creature. I'm poisoned and sick. You run over the earth like a homeless dog. Nobody wants you. Nobody needs you. No one to call your name. You get poisoned with your own loneliness. You get sick with the taste of your own lonely heart. When I see a child, when a child goes up to a mother, takes her hand, calls her by name. Calls her by name, says, "Mother, I've got to run somewhere, anywhere, hide behind a wall. When I hear a child say..."
Welcome home, Zalman.
In four languages. Now even a child can tell you. The story of Mordecai Olim and of Zalman the concertina player and of the woman sickened with a taste of her own sad heart is the story of foolish people. For if you asked a child what is braver than man, even a child would say, a lion is braver than man. And what is braver than a lion? The cage is braver than the lion. Yet, Mordecai Olim and Zalman and the woman have been caged like a lion, like a dog, like a jackal, have been eaten by sorrow the way rust eats iron. And not knowing they were foolish, have consumed their sorrow, have shed their cage. And here they stand now, leaning against the railing of a battered old ship, flying a blue and white flag.
Look at it, Zalman. The Star of David on a cargo shed.
Shaking with foolish laughter at the sight of a common seaport.
Look at the people, Zalman, smiling at us with their faces.
Shaking with foolish laughter, Mordecai, your eyes getting wet with laughter.
Look at them waving, Zalman.
Waving your foolish hand. Feeling a sudden chill at the sound of a name being called. Your foolish heart stirring, beginning to beat, beginning to listen.
Maria, Maria, Maria!
Oh, what are you listening, Mordecai?
Mama,
what do you want to hear?
Mama, can you hear me?
You want to hear your own name called.
Maria, Maria!
Just once. Mordecai. The voices aren't calling to you, Mordecai. How long will you stand there listening and listening? The salt spray is wet in your lips. The wind burns your eyes.
Let's go, Mordecai.
They're starting to check the passport.
But the three of you stand there, crushed against each other, waving your foolish hands, your faces wet and sharp, and your nostrils the smell, a smell both sweet and rotten, the sweet and rotten smell that clings to the clothes of the homeless.
Heads of families will report to tent number 3, where you will be registered and given food cards. You'll get your bedding and blankets in tent 12. There's hot food waiting for you in tent 21. A large red arrow points the way. Roshe, Mishpachot, Lishnot, Le'ohav, Mishpachalot. V'yiratani, V'tabam, Kachisei, Mazot.
They call them the Machonot Olim Hadashim, the camps of the newcomers. And they're the fastest growing flower in Israel. A ship comes into the harbor. A bus goes rolling down a highway. A truck comes roaring in from an airport carrying bundles. And people sitting on the bundles. And overnight, a new row of cement huts is climbing a rocky hill in Galilee. Is nestled in the Emek. Is strung out along the frontier. Is concentrated like a hard, clenched fist in the desert. And the ships keep coming. The buses keep lumbering down the hairpin highways. The trucks keep roaring in with the bundles. And the people out of Koblenz and Breslau and Marseille. And there are no more cement huts, and they take rocks in the field, and they smash them, and they put up rock huts. And the people with the bundles keep coming. And they put up tin huts, and the people with the bundles keep coming out of Hong Kong and Cairo and Aden and Zagreb. And they put up tents. And the people with the bundles keep coming.
Le chef de famille se rendra à la tente numéro 3. Vous vous serez enregistré. Your first name?
Zalman. And mine is Mordecai.
Yes. Your occupation?
Businessman.
What kind of business are you in?
My friend here and I are planning to establish a window washing business in Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem? I see. What sort of work have you done before?
I'll tell you. I've sold paper fans in Bratislava. I've counted tea bags in Cologne. I've opened and shut the outside door of a Turkish bath in Vienna. What a silly job. I even tried to sell old clothes. Only I couldn't get hold of any old clothes. But there is genuine dignity in being a businessman, don't you think?
Well,
Here's our plan. Do you have the figures, Zalman?
Right here.
Yes, now. capitalization. Yes.
Now, if we can float a small loan with the government, well, if you just look at column one here.
I'm afraid that wouldn't be necessary.
Not necessary?
I'm afraid we couldn't encourage the establishment of a window-washing business in Jerusalem just now.
But Jerusalem has many windows.
Quite true. But at this time, I'm afraid we must urge our newcomers to turn their energies to more essential occupations. Besides, there's no room in Jerusalem.
No room? But for two businessmen?
We have many businessmen. Right now in Israel, we need food. We need them in the fields, in the forests, on the roads.
And in other words, in the cities, there is no room.
You can live in the camp, meanwhile.
Yes, I see. Thank you. I see.
When the sun rises in the morning, the immigrant camp wakes up. The thousands of tents still open with people in pajamas, women sweeping, children playing in the dirt, men carrying water pails. And the sun gets hotter. The flies begin to gather. The sand begins to burn. And the tent flaps close, the wooden stands open, and the immigrant market is in business. And the cries of cheap, cheap, bazal, bazal, and celery, petrichka, and carrots and tomatoes, lovely tomatoes, beautiful tomatoes. And the sun gets hotter, the flies sting, and the sand grinds underfoot. And the next tailor from Benghazi, now selling cabbages, suddenly resents the remarks of the next teacher from Warsaw, now selling carrots. The quarrel starts, the anger spills over, the pain, the fatigue. While the blind beggar from Damascus plays his flute, staring at the sun with his milk-white eyes.
How beautiful are thy tents, O Israel.
You are disappointed, Mordechai.
Disappointed? A child is disappointed, Salmon. And besides, what right do I have to be disappointed? Who am I, after all? What have I known that's better?
You shouldn't say things like that, Mordechai.
If I shouldn't, then I haven't.
Maybe it isn't exactly as we imagined.
On the contrary, Zalman. On the contrary, it's much more. Much more.
You never used to talk like this, Mordechai. Even when things were very bad.
You're right. I never did. I never did. But now I want to talk. There's something inside of me, Zalman, that's black and tight. And I can't talk it out.
Mordechai Olim went about looking for someone to talk to.
Excuse me. I wonder if I could talk to you a minute.
If it's a problem connected with your work, can you wait outside, please? There are a few people ahead of you still.
Mordechai couldn't tell him that it wasn't a work problem he was after. And he went about the camp looking for someone to talk to.
Excuse me, I...
Mother Hamish.
I'd only take 1 minute of your time. Maybe you understand German. Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Sprechen Sie Almani. Sprechen Sie Italiani? Parla italiano?
No Italian. Yiddish?
No Yiddish. Francese? France?
Polish. Polski.
Ivrit.
Well, thank you for talking to me.
And Mordechai went out from the camp of the immigrants. Out into the stony hills of Judea. And he talked to the hills.
You see how it is with me. When I was a child, I heard my father tell how there would come a certain day in the world when Elijah the prophet would rise up in the hills of Israel and blow his horn and unfurl his banner. And the banner would be seen and the horn would be heard all over the earth, down to the last hidden corner, where the last hidden homeless Jew was waiting for redemption. And the last homeless Jew would hear it and come home. We've seen the banner. And we've heard the horn.
Elijah the prophet! Let me see you in the hills of Israel! Rise up, Elijah! And tell me I've come home!
The earth has no room for me. My people have no need for me. I came a stranger, and I will leave a stranger.
What have I done? What have I done? Must I always run over the earth like a homeless dog?
And Mordecai listened, but all the answer he heard was the staring silence of the harsh gray hills of Judea. And Mordecai wept. And Mordecai Olin came down from the hills, and the eyes in his head were homeless eyes. And his feet carried him aimlessly, and his loneliness made the hair stand wild. And he came to a field in which men were digging, and what they dug were rocks. The sun burnt them, and the dust blackened them, and their sweat ate at them like rust. And when they had dug one rock, they carried it to the edge of the field, and then they bent and dug another rock. And Mordecai went up to one.
This land could have been spit up by a volcano.
It could have.
It could be the salt, dry bed of the sea, that even the sea receded from and abandoned.
It has that look.
A man who harvests rocks, harvests sweat.
He does.
You are burned and black, and yet you don't have the look of a man of the fields.
Perhaps not.
Your hands are hard and torn, yet they hold the memory of damask napkins.
They may.
Your speech echoes with the sound of concert halls.
Perhaps it does.
And yet you stand here clearing a barren field of rocks.
I do.
And you sing.
I do.
Why?
Because these rocks are mine.
The sun had set and the wind had begun to nibble at evening when Mordecai Olim came back into the camp of the immigrants. And he saw the same tents and the flies and the children playing and the women sweeping with their brooms. And they were the same, and yet they looked different. And he asked Zalman, the concertina player,
"Why is this night different from all other nights? Is this night different?"
But Mordecai knew that it was, for he heard the singing in the tents.
There is singing in the tents. The singing is always there.
And Mordecai heard the singing and he understood the words. Abraham, our father, will rejoice with us. Isaac, our father, will rejoice with us. Jacob, our father, will rejoice with us. All Israel in exile will rejoice for this. And Mordecai put down his pack and he rested against the wall. He was home.
Thank you.
now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. J.D. Wyler, chairman of the United Jewish Appeal of Greater New York. Mr. Wyler.
The story of Mordecai Olam is the story of a man who wanted to belong. How easily that word belong falls on the ears of those of us who have always belonged, secure in our homes, our loved ones, our possessions. But for Mordecai Olam, the word had a very different meaning. It was compounded of broken dreams, bitter frustrations, and harsh struggle. For he was one of the dispossessed, the displaced person, the DP who was the modern pilgrim in quest of a new land, a new promise, a new fulfillment. In the end, he found his haven, and it was a new land called Israel. In the end, he found his beginning, a point of return to new life and dignity to belonging. Mordecai Olam was just one of more than 700,000 men, women, and children who have found refuge in Israel since its establishment as an independent democratic nation. Just 4 years ago, the people of Israel won their independence. Their main weapons were sheer courage and devotion to the cause of freedom, justice, and democracy. Today, the people of Israel are engaged in another battle against great odds. This time, they fight for economic survival, for a chance to work, to produce, and to live in dignity. No gunfire now, no bursting of bombs, no incredible victories. Yet the silent struggle against hunger in Israel today is as grim as the military defense of 1948. This battle must be won. The tremendous waves of immigrants seeking a haven in Israel have doubled and may soon triple its population. These men, women, and children must be fed, clothed, housed, educated, trained, rehabilitated, and integrated into the economy. Miracles of generosity through the United Jewish Appeal have made possible miracles of achievement. Yet 20 out of every 100 of their population still live in canvas tents and huts. The United Jewish Appeal's task is a great humanitarian undertaking. It is a great constructive task. It is a task which is writing its own chapter in the history of the Jewish people. On the outcome of the United Jewish Appeal campaign in 1952 depends the fate of a young state that already has made inspiring history for the democratic cause. Let us open our hearts, even as Israel has opened her doors to all who would belong to the community of free men. Let those of us who cherish freedom and democracy respond to the urgency of these needs. If Israel loses, liberty loses. Israel's disaster would be democracy's disaster.
Thank you, Mr. Wyler. You've just heard These Rocks Are Mine, written, produced, and directed, recorded in Israel for The Eternal Light by Miss Sylvia Berger. Original music was composed and conducted in Jerusalem by Mark Lavery. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Today's program came to you from our Radio City studios in New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.